Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you praise for your truth, your revelation, knowledge. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to yield to your spirit. We give you praise for what you're doing. We thank you for this broadcast. Certainly improved over yesterday. And we give you a praise because you are allowing yourself to be worked out even during the application of this technology. We just praise your name, Father. We praise the work that you're doing. Help the people get hold of this. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are, you know, fast approaching the anniversary of the, We are fast approaching the anniversary of the start of the church age. This is generally celebrated on Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. And this year it's going to be on May 24th. The believers are to operate in faith. The believers are equipped to operate in power. So in this lesson, we will attempt to weave these two truths together, propelling us to the desired Christian walk. That's faith and power. So let us begin. Remember what I said? Faith and power. Now, it is assumed that the reader is baptized and the Spirit of God has been imparted. So what does this mean and how does it work? Now, you know, we celebrate, but what are we celebrating and how is it supposed to pan out? How does things work out? Well, remember, faith is the belief in the promises of God. It is believing the Word of God, believing what He says, giving credence to it, not just vocally, but actually acting it out. And power belongs to God. He's imparting this power to His children. Let's look at this, because they go hand in hand, although sometimes we tend to run off one or the other. It is necessary that we understand how it works. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, and let's pick it up in verse 7. It says, "And he rose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and they glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Here it is, Jesus healed a paralyzed man. And the folks recognize what was going on and they say, hey, this man has power. And so they glorify the God of heaven, which has given such power unto men. So the scene switches and Jesus goes out, start calling the disciples. But I want you to notice what they were saying. He gave power. That's God now, the Father, gives power unto men. In the 62nd Psalm, I'd like to bring something to your attention. We participate in it and sometimes may not focus on it as we should. But in Psalm 62, it says in verse 10, "Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." Sound advice. Don't focus on material things. But notice verse 11. "God had spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God." When you stop and think about it, ladies and gentlemen, power really belongs to God. Yes, he has delegated some to us. You remember Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, "Greater works than these shall you do." Well, he has delegated some to us. But the point here is that it really belongs to God. And when you understand it and start to spend more time with him, you will begin to see that it is he who is working the miracles through us. Just like he did, the Acts says he did these things after he went back to heaven through the apostles. All right? And he's going to do the same thing through you and I today, the end time church. Now, the end result is that we will operate in faith and power. Now, it takes faith to operate in power. Don't believe it's just going to just happen just like that, because a lot of folks, you know, really, we're going to have spend some more time about teaching on faith, because this seems to be one of the weak spot in the church today. You know, Jesus asked a rhetorical question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faith is lacking. Faith is lacking. Folks are asking God to do things which he has already delegated them. It is our responsibility to do it. And yet we're asking him to do it. It's not going to get done then, because he has already given that assignment to you, and you're putting it back in his plate. It doesn't work like that. No, we have to carry our end of the bargain. It's like, well, let's see, the game checkers. One move and then the other move. When it is our turn to move, we should move. When it is God's turn to move, he always moves. You get the idea? And so we need to understand how it works. So the end result then of what I just read in Matthew, the 8th chapter in the Psalm 62, is that we will operate in faith and power. And that should be our standard operating procedure, SOP, as I mentioned in the last lesson. Standard operating procedure. That means that's how you normally do it. Now, how do we begin? Well, we must have faith. And you remember, he has given to every man the measure of faith. When you start off, yes, you have a token. But you're going to have to grow. A lot of folks don't realize that. So they have assumed that they have arrived. No, you must grow. Well, how do you get it? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Let's turn to it and read it again. We have done this many times, but I want to make sure it sinks in, because the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy can put us to sleep. In verse 16 in Romans, the 10th chapter, it says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed or report?" So the point is this. Before the folks can believe, they have to hear. All right? So the question is a rhetorical question. Who has believed or report? Verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." Now, a lot of people are hearing a lot of different things these days. They're on YouTube. They have, podcasts and so on. And they're listening to everything and everybody else rather than to listening to the Lord. That's not going to work. You must be hearing what? The word of God. That's it. It's critical. So our faith then is proportional to the word in us. Now, what happens if we read and don't understand? Well, that doesn't count. No. It is what you understand. When you understand it, then you will apply it. That is what matters. Very, very important. So no word, no faith. Now, we cannot please God without faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6. I want us to make sure we understand this today, because we are attempting to weave these two truths together, so you understand faith and power. Because when you get these together, folks, things are going to get done. A lot of things that people in the church are praying for, if they would just operate in faith, it would have been done long ago, but they don't know it, because the enemy has come and stole the information from them, taught them out of what God has promised, and they listen to fairy tales. And as a result, they don't operate in power. So in 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says in verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Do you want to please God? Yeah, sure we do. Everyone wants to. Not everybody is pleasing him, because some people are making unwise choices. They're going in different directions, and that is not pleasing to him. So without faith, again, let's read it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe, notice that now, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, how many times you hear people keep saying, well, I've been asking for this and so on, and they fail to understand that God's promises, all his promises are yes and amen. So there must be something that is blocking it, ladies and gentlemen. It is not that God is not moving. I remember I said he moved when it is his turn. So if you're not receiving, something else is blocking it. Go back to listen to one of the broadcasts that we talked about, obstacles to faith, obstacles to growth. Because there are obstacles, and sometimes we can put these obstacles in our way. We just go in that direction and, you know, and we're not realizing it. But the point is that there have got to be some obstacles somewhere, because all these promises are yes and amen. There is nowhere in any version of the Bible that you will read where God is telling people to go away. He's not going to do this for them. Anyone who comes to him in sincerity and truth, he will no wise cast out. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, we must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not haphazardly, not occasionally, not today and tomorrow you change your mind. No, you're not going to endure the test of time that way, and so you're going to fail. Now, the just shall live by faith. The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. Look at Luke, Luke chapter 17. Let's start to do it quickly. Because we need to get hold of these things, ladies and gentlemen, and it will be better for us, and we sure shine a better light on the gospel that we are preaching, because it is not one without power, because there is no word of God, by the way, without power. All his word is packed with power. When you understand that, oh man, you're beginning now to be on easy street. In Luke 17 chapter and verse 5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So the point here is, if the apostles were asking, and they were right there with him, and they asked him to increase their faith, so should we. We need to ask him to increase our faith. And what did I say earlier about faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hear the word of God. That means you're going to have to pump this word in you. Find creative ways to do it. You know, I generally don't put myself in this, but I'll give you an example. I like to walk. I do that as an exercise. And you have a lot of the opportunity to listen to the Bible while you, at least while I'm walking. And so I just set it on automatic and I turn on and I may walk for an hour. And during that time, it goes from one chapter to another. So in two walks, I go through the book of Daniel, saturating my mind. This is what you want to do. Saturate your mind with the word of God. Saturate your mind with the word of God. Let me say it again. Saturate your mind with the word of God. It is impossible for you not to walk in faith after that. They ask him to increase your faith, and look at his response, because many read this and read over it. So let me just spend some time digressing. It's not in my notes, but let's just discuss this. So the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and be thou by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you had faith, you would do. Notice what he's saying. If you had faith, and he gave an example, you would do. That means you're going to be doing it. I show you my faith by my works, James says. Therefore, you're going to be doing. That's what he's saying here. Practice it then. Practice. 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 And you're going to find that it starts to work more and more. Let's press on a little more. Now, God promises to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. In Acts, the first chapter, let's read it. Because everything we say or do, ladies and gentlemen, must be based on the Word of God. Everything we do not do must also be based on the Word of God. So the writer Luke is written. It is believed that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he is writing it and addressing it to Theophilus, and he said, you know, these things I write of what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which, this is verse 1 and verse 2 now, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and he was speaking to them concerning things of pertaining to the kingdom of God. And verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded men that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We're going to have to teach on this baptism in the Holy Ghost, because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding with regards to this and how it operates. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that he promised that he's going to saturate us, baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Over and over and over, there's another presentation we have. You know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. Whenever you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not a one-time operation. There are times when you are, at your zenith, your height, and other times when you're low. And you're going to have to go to the presence of the Lord. And, you know, what I do is I sing and praise him, and I saturate my mind and talk with him and ask him to fill me up again and so on. But you get the idea. Being filled. The Greek in Ephesians chapter 5, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is a continuous state. Being filled with the Spirit. All right, here I digress from my notes. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is this. In verse, 8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. The point is this, he's empowering us to be a witness for him. We are supposed to be a witness how often? 24/7. Once you're in his army, you're in his army. There's no vacation, no nothing else, okay? Sometimes folk act as if, you know, church is a part-time thing. Walking with God is a part-time. No, it is a continuous thing. And so he promised he's going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And the purpose is to empower us, because his work can only be done through the Spirit. It's not by might or by power, but by his Spirit. And so when folks understand this now, everybody will be seeking and praying and asking him to pour out his Spirit upon them, that they will be empowered to do the supernatural. You know, the normal things, no, you can do that yourself. You don't have to pray for that. He has already granted that to you. But the point is this, if you're going to do his work now, listen, let me tell you something. The enemy, he's so cunning, he is able to con anybody. And folks are not realizing this, and sometimes he even try to sound like Jesus. And people think they're hearing from God when they're actually hearing from a demon spirit. And folks are not getting, they're not making the difference. But I'm telling you, no, he promised to baptize us in the Holy Ghost. So this is how we shall have power. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. You read that in Romans 8:14. So we are going to be filled with the Spirit, and we are going to be led by the Spirit. And that should be our desire from that point on. Once you come to the realization of what God has called us to do. So in addition to this, now having the Spirit, the love of God is going to be shed abroad, you know, in our heart by the Holy Spirit. You read that in Romans 5:5. So the work of God that we are doing, the things of God that we are doing, we're engaged in, it should be going, as he said in, Zechariah, it's not by might, but by power that it's going to be done. So the point here is that you're going to follow the lead of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is not going to lead you in any direction that is contrary to the Bible. Aha, you got it. So that's how you're going to know. Well, how you do it? Go study the Bible. That's it. So we conclude then, ladies and gentlemen, that the children of God must walk in faith and power. God will give the Spirit to those who ask. Luke, the 13th chapter. Here it is. You have a question. You say, well, what am I going to do? How does this work? Well, let's go to Luke chapter 13. And you see there, because there are a lot of wisdom keys all over the scripture. Not everybody understands this, but that's how it is woven. And so it takes the Spirit of God for you to get it. That's why you need teachers. It's not that you're at their mercy, but he has anointed folks to be able to go out and share that information. So in Luke chapter 11, in verse 12, he says, he shall ask an egg. If somebody shall ask an egg, and you offer him a scorpion. This is Jesus giving a rhetorical example here. And so in verse 13, he says, if you then, meaning other words, mankind, then being evil, know how to give good gifts, unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, we're coming up in Pentecost, and what I want to encourage us to do is to put out some special effort to try to spend time with the Lord. Make this be the year where you can start hearing his voice. I'm talking about Rhema word. You're going down the street and he says something to you and you understand. Make this be the year where you are able to hear his word. I'm amazed. I go to some places where folks are not that educated and they can tell you what the Lord said. And you listen to them keenly, you realize, yeah, they understood. And yet you go to other folks that are sophisticated and they don't know. Well, you know, as Paul said, well, not many wise men are called, not many noble are chosen. And so the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that you ask him. So you're going to ask him then to what? Saturate you. At least that's what I did. I to saturate you with his Spirit. Remember I said it's a continuous thing? So you're going to have to spend time with him on a regular basis. Set aside some time. Start off 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I use that expression because my dad used to use the expression as growing up. He said, you can't even spend 10 minutes. Well, I'm not, you know, where he is. So I said, okay, let me go half that. 5 minutes. So that's where I get that. So I said, start with 5 minutes. And then you can increase it to 10 and 15, 20 and so on. You're going to find that you end up spending an hour before you know it. My point, though, is that you want to spend time with him. Where is he? See you come. Yes, that's my boy. He's coming for his daily bread. And so the point here is this, you want to make it a habit. Not all habits are bad, you know. You want a good habit where you're going to have good study habits, good health habits, and so on. So this one here, you're going to spend time with it. Make it a habit. Now, we read that the early church moved in power. So should we. There are many examples of the church praying and receiving dramatic answers from God. On one occasion, they prayed until Peter was released from prison dramatically. In another case, they prayed and the place was shaken. You can read that in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. As a matter of fact, there were two cases really there and also with the Philippi, when they were in jail, Peter and Paul rather. But my point here is this, they prayed and God answered. So we read also in James, the 5th chapter and verse 17, that Elijah was a man just like you and I, plain just like you and I, and he prayed, and you know what happened. You can read the original story in 1 Kings chapter 18, and this is circumstance with the, you know, false prophet and Ahab. But my point here is that James is summarizing it now in the fifth chapter and verse 17. He says, he was a man just like you and I. Well, I am saying this to say that notice how God did and operate with him. Well, he does the same for you and I. And that is our destiny, if we would yield to him. Now, this same Jesus is same yesterday, today, and forever. You read that in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and verse 8. So what he does for one, he will do for all. Let's say together, what he does for one, he will do for all. Meaning he's no respecter of person. Since there is, you know, Romans, the second chapter and verse 11. He's not a respecter of persons. So the point is that he worked for the apostles. He worked for the other disciples. Later on, the early church, he will do the same for you and I if we spend the same time dedicating ourselves. Now, there is a level that we have to increase because we have an understanding that they didn't have. So we get some things that really just come along with the package, so to speak. My point, though, is that he expects us now to operate at a higher level. Paul couldn't go and read Acts chapter 13. You can. Paul couldn't go and read 1 Corinthians and so on. He experienced these things, write it down, and then we have it. So the point here is that we're not going to have to run the first leg, so to speak, in a relay. We have the baton, the race has already started, and we're coming in later on, and we start our turn now to perform, and we need to go on and get to it right away. But again, the point here is that, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are supposed to be operating what? Faith and power. Now, we all have an assignment. We can be successful by operating in what? Faith and power. Let's say it together. Faith and power. We can be successful if we operate in faith and power. Now, we all look forward, ladies and gentlemen, to the day when Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So go with that. May God be with you. Thank you so much for listening. All right, let's see. I don't know if that, Brother Steve, are you there? Brother Steve, are you there? Yes.